You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, November 15, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Last night at 2 a.m., approximately 2 a.m., about 1:30, I guess, nearly 1,000 police in full riot gear stormed Zuccotti Park, throwing all the tents, all the equipment, thousands of books into massive dumpsters, arresting over 200 people, driving the occupiers outside, out of Zuccotti Park, sending them into the streets. There was violence by the police. Protesters remained. For the most part, I have seen no reports of any protesters becoming violent. And this morning at 8:30 a.m., a New York State Supreme Court justice issues a stay pending a court action that is taking place right now as we speak. From that order, I quote, "It is further ordered that until this matter is heard on the date set forth above," that date being November 15th at 11:30 a.m., respondents slash defendants, that would be Zuccotti Park and the City of New York, are prohibited from A, evicting protesters from Zuccotti Park, a.k.a. Liberty Park, exclusive of lawful arrests for criminal offenses; B, enforcing, quote, rules, end quote, published after the occupation began, or otherwise preventing protesters from re-entering the park with tents and other property previously utilized. In the court, as it stands now, the city lawyers are saying that they are denying they were served restraining orders. The police, there is a standoff at Zuccotti Park. Last reports I've seen, there are 100 police inside the park. They have barricaded themselves inside. Protesters are surrounding the park, attempting to get back in. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk to Jeff Smith, who has been down there since day one. Before we go, here is some sound from last night as the police brutally pushed, nightsticked, batoned protesters as they were pouring out of the park. Here's that clip now.
Stop it! What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel what?
Take it easy. Take it easy. You back up now.
Okay, on the phone, we have Jeff Smith, who is, Jeff, where are you now?
I am down just outside of Zuccotti Park.
All right.
The police are currently occupying the space and not letting anybody get in there right now. But we are actually waiting now. I don't know if you heard, I mean, we can go through the whole story, but there's actually a temporary restraining order that was filed late last night into the morning. And the cops actually denied that restraining order. So they went in essentially into the park illegally to evict us. And now there's another court hearing going on as we speak to basically defend our right to come back into the park, tents and all.
Now, I've got the restraining order now. And so are you saying that this restraining order happened last night?
Yes, the paperwork was basically filed immediately as the eviction started, and we were able to get a judge to sign off on it within a couple of hours. So we actually had people trying to serve this restraining order to police all over the park as they evicted people last night.
Wow. I didn't realize that was the case. I mean, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the order, and maybe this is a different order, but I'm seeing the order signed at 6:30 a.m. on 11/15/11 by Lucy Billings. She is a justice of the Supreme Court of the state of New York, out of the county of New York. I guess it's unclear as to what time that that happened. But why don't you walk us through what happened last night? I know that the text message went out at about I guess the first one came out at about 1:27. Or one at 12:59, Occupy New York, urgent, hundreds of police mobilizing around Zuccotti, eviction in progress. So tell me, were you there last night?
I was. I was coming back from a spokes council meeting that was on off-site, and so as I came back around the park around, I guess, 12:30, I was talking on the phone, just sort of circling the park, walking in and out, and that's when I started to notice that they brought in these enormous light rigs, lighting standards that they erected on every side of the park. It looked like Yankee Stadium out here, and that was pretty much when I realized this is definitely not something normal going on. And they began cordoning off the square, not letting anyone go in or out, and there were hundreds and hundreds of cops in riot gear, this time with actual shields and their batons drawn, and it was clear that something pretty messy was about to go down.
Now, at that time, my understanding is they shut down the subways stops down to Occupy Wall Street. They had grounded essentially all of the news helicopters, so they're not allowing them to take pictures. So what happened? Did you enter the park at that point? Were you in the park? And then what happened?
I was in the park, and the cops were staging, and basically, once they came into the park, they pretty much came with the baton swinging. They told people to get out of the park, but it was pretty much simultaneously with a raised baton, you know, aimed at your head or your stomach or your knees, and they told you basically, you know, get out of here or, you know, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And, I took the warning and proceeded, and, you know, I still ended up getting grabbed by the back of the shirt and thrown on the ground and eventually did get out of there. But it was pretty messy, and there were certainly a lot of people that got beaten pretty badly. There were some members of the people that locked themselves into the park, used like bicycle U-locks, and attached themselves to trees and other things to nail themselves down. Huge plumes of pepper spray all over the place as they subdued people. And there was even a city councilman Adonis Rodriguez, who was in the park, who was beaten pretty severely, cracked over the head. His head was split open with a baton. And although there was clearly a media blackout, and it was one of the more sinister aspects of this raid, was that Bloomberg was able to effectively clear out every form of broadcast media, including the CNN truck that sits next to the park virtually 24 hours a day. And so there was almost no broadcast coverage, but there were definitely videos inside the park, and people caught a lot of action, and so I think you're going to start to see those emerging throughout today.
Now, as the there were reports last night as I was watching the live stream that there was use of the LRAD, the sound cannons. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, that was basically used against the people that were tied in, sort of locked themselves down and refused to get out of the park. And I did see the vehicle. I didn't hear it directly. I was out of the park at the time when they used it. But I did definitely hear confirmation from some people that they used it. And it was quite painful, apparently, to the people in the park.
I would imagine. Now, we have a link on Majority FM to some video that was taken apparently by one of the people who were had chained themselves in the kitchen area. And you can see the police begin to basically come in and begin to tear it down. You could see the video last night of them throwing all of the tents, all of the equipment, all of the books from the library, 5,000 books into dumpsters. Was there much media equipment that was in there? I mean, exactly how much stuff was lost by people?
I think there was quite a bit. I mean, they're claiming that all the stuff is available to be picked up at a sanitation location. So they're claiming they didn't throw it away, but they definitely destroyed most of the tents in the process. And I guess it remains to be seen whether computer equipment and other such devices were damaged. Clearly, there was no real regard for our property rights, much less our First Amendment rights out there.
And so after the park is cleared out, at least of those people who had not chained themselves in the park, where did you go? Where did people go?
Well, I actually went from inside the park across the street to the lot there to continue to watch, and then the police cordoned off that area and forced us out. And basically, they just continue to push people up Broadway away from the location. Just lines of cops would just sweep across blocks and push everyone. And so even the news vans from all the local networks were parked up, you know, 3-4 blocks away from the park, nowhere near where they could get any footage. And eventually people went to Foley Square. And so they met there impromptu, you know, maybe 3-4 a.m. And then others went to a church near NYU, the Judson Church, which has opened their doors to us. And so some of us went there to kind of regroup. But overall, people were definitely remained, their spirits were high. Nobody feels like this is any kind of an end to the occupation, regardless of what happens. And frankly, I think people feel like this is only going to make us stronger again.
Now, are you aware there was a group of protesters, of occupiers, who marched up to, I guess it was Canal and or 6th and Grand or Canal and Grand, somewhere in that area, and they have begun to occupy a fenced-in lot up there. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, it's actually a sort of triangle-shaped lot. It's at Canal and 6th Avenue. And the property is actually privately owned by one of the churches. And so they've opened up the area, and what actually happened there was a press conference where a number of clergy came. There was a priest and a rabbi and a Buddhist monk, and they all made statements essentially in solidarity with the movement. And specifically, they told us about a call they made out citywide to every church, every synagogue, every religious house all throughout this city, to open their doors to the occupiers, open their kitchens, open their bathrooms, their sanctuaries, And so there was definitely a concerted call for help for this movement. And they really saw this as an important moment in trying to reclaim this country and our common space. And really, you know, they brought the sense of justice in a religious sense that I think was really powerful. So I think this puts all the more pressure on Mike Bloomberg. And frankly, I think what's happened here is that Mike Bloomberg has become, you know, kind of the most hated man in New York right now.
I'm seeing reports from a woman named Allison Birch, who was there. She writes, in terms of the police claiming they were never served with the restraining order, she writes, and I can't confirm this, but it was retweeted by Alternet as well, I was there. The deputy refused to receive it. It is all on tape. They were served. As it is now in the courtroom, the lawyers for Occupy Wall Street and the ACLU and the National Legal Guild have just gotten a counterfiling from Bloomberg. So now, what are people talking about in terms of tomorrow? There was a lot of action taking planned for the 2-month anniversary of the occupation. Has there been a GA? Has there been any notion of what's going to happen going forward? Or are people just waiting essentially to see if they can get back into Zuccotti?
The people have definitely congregated back down here at Zuccotti and are, you know, seeing what's going to happen here. The action you're talking about is actually scheduled for Thursday, I believe.
Oh, Thursday. Sorry. Yes.
And yes, I mean, I think it was something that we thought would go off regardless. I mean, we didn't know this eviction was going to happen, but I think now they've only served to make it that much bigger. I imagine that we'll have people even coming in from around the country to help us occupy it, and we have a number of different actions that will all be simultaneous, but it's really about how many people we can mobilize, and I think given what happened last night, I think that the whole world will be watching what happens down on Wall Street on Thursday morning.
All right, and so tell me again, we're gonna talk to Harry Siegel in a minute and get his perspective. But where are you specifically right now, and what are you seeing?
I am on Liberty Street on the side of the park, and there are cops in riot gear, basically lining the entire park, standing up on the ledge, straight down one side around the corner and the other side. And then there are also cops all on the inside. So I'd say there's probably a total of 200 cops or so, maybe, total holding the park right now. And there have been a couple of arrests that have happened just out on the perimeter of the park. But I think people are waiting to see sort of what happens here. It doesn't feel like it's really a police showdown, but I think people feel like we've been at least vindicated on some level in the courts. And, you know, I think we always felt like we were in the right in terms of our right to occupy this space. So I think the further that the city, you know, turns this into a police state and tries to keep us from peaceably assembling, I think it's frankly a stain on the city and Mayor Bloomberg right now.
And we should make this absolutely clear. Right now, the hearing is going on to determine whether or not the occupiers can stay in formerly known as Zuccotti Park. But what is absolutely clear and indisputable is that the police are now functioning in a direct contradiction to a court order. As of now, the occupiers should be allowed into the park as per the order of the state Supreme Court. The police are now basically in contempt of that court order. It remains to be seen what the resolution of the hearing is going to be, but they are clearly in violation of that court order right now. And Jeff, how many protesters would you say are there?
I would say it's probably between 200 and 300 people. I mean, there's also just a lot of traffic amongst people that have come here to support us. And to correct one thing that you said, I believe the temporary restraining order that was issued last night expired at 11:30 a.m. which is when the new trial is scheduled to take place. So I think technically, as of right now, maybe they have the right to keep us out of the park, but only because the mayor has decided to just close the park, as opposed to what he had said earlier, that he just wanted to have the park clean and then we would be able to re-enter it. So I think clearly the court order has made the mayor have to double back on his word. And you're correct. At this point now, it seems like regardless of what the court order says, it doesn't appear as if the police are going to let us back in the park. And certainly not with tents and sleeping bags as the judgment orders.
All right. Jeff Smith, thanks so much for keeping us updated. And hope to talk to you more. And hopefully may I get a chance to see you over the next couple of days.
Excellent. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. You can follow Jeff at Don't Be a Putz on Twitter. Don't Be a Putz on Twitter. Don't Be a Putz. Follow Jeff. When we come back, we'll be talking to Harry Siegel, who I believe is also down there in the area. We'll be right back after this. All right, folks, we are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone. Journalist Harry Siegel. Harry, where are you now?
I'm a half block away from Zuccotti, where it's a little more quiet, but there are helicopters overhead, so it's still pretty noisy.
All right, well, you sound good on this end. And
good.
Tell us, what has the last 12 hours been like for you?
Utterly surreal. Suddenly, the park was emptied. Everything was barricaded off. Many reporters were trying to sneak in. The police were extremely hostile and uniformly hostile to the press in a way that's not common. Physically confrontational, really disinterested in credentials, simply not letting anyone in and being pretty rough about it. Next thing I know, we're marching in a confused, twisting pattern, partly to avoid the police. Partly because the police keep chopping the group, smaller groups, and finally these people aren't sure where they're going. And then back to Zuccotti, this temporary court decision. The park is still empty on the inside. Nothing but police and security guys, it appears, wearing orange vests from Brookfield, we think. And then the outside is ringed with occupiers. It's just an utterly surreal.
And now tell me, I've seen all sorts of reports. I've seen that an NPR reporter was arrested, that a New York Times reporter was arrested, that a city councilman was beaten, that NBC and CBS choppers were grounded. Have you seen, did you witness any of the police specifically disregarding any press passes? Did you see any violence on behalf of the police?
Yes and yes. I just saw an hour ago, which is one of the only things I've seen in daylight where the police have been much more restrained, a cameraman with a press pass who climbed on top of a phone booth to get a shot, which is not an uncommon thing. And it's not uncommon for the police to tell you at that point to get down. In this case, he was trying to pass his camera down to them and then climb down. And he ended up getting physically pulled off the top with force, falling, and then getting arrested. I was shoved around. There was no interest at all in the police I showed that I was a reporter. And I was told, you know, keep moving with the fist and the nightstick to my chest, which I did not appreciate. And I kept hearing similar reports from other reporters I saw.
And did you witness the use of anti-riot sound weapons? What did you see the police deploy last night?
I know that they deployed that. I was not from the various pens I was in. Once they closed off the park, they wouldn't let anyone back in, press included, for our own protection, we were told today by the mayor. So we were all boarded off a full block away from the park pretty quickly. And from there, at least, we couldn't make out the sound weaponry I keep hearing was deployed.
And do you know anything about what's happening? I guess it's called Duarte Square. New York Civil Liberties Union is reporting that Trinity Church is not letting the cops inside. Inside Duarte Square, where the occupiers have set up a second occupation.
Yes. So I can give you a little bit of background on that. We actually ended up going, the group I was with, and again, the police kept splitting up what had been this large march. I'm cutting groups off and making them go in different directions, so people disperse. The group I was with, and eventually about 150, I think, ended up at Judson Church, right off of Washington Square Park, which is a very famous, very liberal, sort of wonderful church. And at one of the places that's been supportive of the occupation, I know that they've been in touch with the Trinity people who over the last few months have quietly really been extending resources to the occupiers. And I think they made the decision today that they needed to provide a more permanent space, from as I understand it. They've offered this. The police are saying that this is somehow a public space that they don't have the right to extend, which is a very odd argument. But in the course of running around and tracking all of these threads, I don't want to say more than I know. I can say the Trinity has been very gracious and decent toward the occupiers in a really Christian way. For as long as they've been here, and I think has been slowly expanding those connections. And now it looks like it's about to put them in competition with the police over what I understand to be their property.
Interesting. And is there anything else you think we should know at this point? I mean, what do you think will happen down at the park? I mean, apparently in terms of the hearing that's going on, they are still waiting for a judge assignment. But what do you think is going to happen one way or the other?
It really remains to be seen. Right now, there's a temporary court order saying that the protesters are back in. No new restrictions can be put in place, so they can put their tents and so forth back in. That's the law. The police are not putting anyone back in spite of that. That order was supposed to expire at 11:30. But the order that's supposed to follow that would either extend that order or change it hasn't showed up yet. And in the meantime, the police seem to be simply disregarding the law, which they also did a good deal last night. I'm really upset. There's a giant cheer going up now, which may be the answer. So I'm walking toward it to find out. But as of 1 minute ago, at least, the police have let everyone ring the park, but they won't let them into the park, which is a really surreal sort of standoff.
And go ahead.
Look, I think that the big question here is how this plays out for Bloomberg. And it's hard for me not to see this as something of a disaster, no matter how hard the Post is pushing, no matter what sort of side star parts there are to the occupation. This does really vivify having this giant, powerful police force using force up against what it's basically a collective of ideologues and young people with tremendous aggression. And when people are proud of what they do, they don't do it at 2 in the morning, ban the press and ground helicopters. That's obscene.
Yeah, the media blackout that has been performed is one of the most egregious things about this. I mean, on top of all of it. And now the New York Civil Liberties Union is reporting that cops have entered Duarte Square, and there are a lot of arrests in process there. Do you have a sense of what's going on in terms of the cheering that's taking place in the square right
now? I'm walking toward the cheering right now. Honestly, there's often a lot of noise without a lot of reason. So I'm not inclined to think too much of just cheering, but we'll see. Right now, the park's still open. There seems to be a large group. There's a large group yelling shame at the police. I think there's an arrest taking place. Those usually go together.
Okay, and is there anything else you think we should know about what's taken place over the past, I guess, really 8 hours, 12 hours?
Just one other thing I think really worth mentioning. I think in a lot of ways this is a huge favor for the city to the occupation, which is going through a really rough stretch. There have been problems within the park. The spokes council has been off to a brutal start, and it's gotten really tied down in identity politics questions and not gotten very much done. And I think a lot of people were feeling dispirited and not clear where this movement went or what it was necessarily going to be about. And yet again, the heavy hand of the state, I think, has given shape and purpose to something that just a little bit ago people were worried was losing those things.
Yeah, Harry, let me ask you about that. I mean, the timing seems bizarre. You're so close to winter where it's going to be a lot harsher. There has clearly been a lot of frustration. If anybody's been following what's been going on with the spokes council over the past couple of nights with the general assemblies, there's been clearly a lot of frustration from people down there. There's been a lot of pressure on the occupation in dealing with people in the park just being difficult to deal with. I mean, what accounts for this timing? It just seems, you know, even looking at it from the perspective of Bloomberg, it seems just horribly incompetent.
Possibly beautiful weather to boot. Look, that part seems ridiculous. I have to assume the idea was to do this. What I've been hearing speculated all day was the idea was to do this before this big day of action and symbolically shutting down the stock exchange planned for Thursday. But I don't see what that accomplishes even on those terms. It wasn't going to stop the working group members, the direct action people, the organizers from getting that done. And it was just going to draw more attention and excitement. I mean, I am totally perplexed by the timing. I think sometimes it's worth remembering that people make dumb decisions rather than try to attribute other motives to them. I just don't see why now. I was honestly of the impression that the mayor's let this fall apart under its own strategy was really starting to work. And I'm guessing on some level he just ran out of patience and they got very tired of this story. And I think that the new people in high positions in this third term, Cass Sustine and Howard Wolfson and such, that they're exhausted with the story. And they're tired of getting this bad press and they feel beat upon. You know, the mayor's open contempt for the politics and culture of the people here is open. It's no secret. And I think they may have just been fed up, and I think they've screwed up pretty badly. But we'll see. I know both parliaments, like, strongly endorsed the decision, and magically, despite this raid starting at 1 a.m., they both did a whole different front page to get the story. So clearly, you know, they've been tipped in advance. It's hard for me to see. I'm really thrown off by the timing. It seems terribly counterproductive. And I point out that the mayor recently has been talking about the 2004 RNC arrests and the lawsuits that are still ongoing. So you think he'd have some sense of the dangers of moving this aggressively, of ending up, you know, a month and a half after one councilman gets arrested, having another one beaten up and arrested? Like, this just looks terrible.
Yeah, it's stunning. Well, Harry Siegel, thank you so much for talking to us about this today. And we hope to be in touch with you over the coming days. And good luck and stay safe down there.
Thanks. Sam, it's a pleasure being on. It's nice to have an actual conversation and not talk in sound bites.
Well, I'm really glad to have the opportunity to talk to you. Fascinating stuff. Harry Siegel, and you can follow Harry on Twitter on, I think it's at Harry Siegel. Is that it? At Harry Siegel? We'll put all these Twitter things. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Lee Papa, who is also down there. You'll remember Lee started this movement to blanket the earth and to provide support for the occupiers. And it's going to be more necessary than ever now because they're going to have to rebuild. And my sense is they're going to. And we're not clear whether it's going to be in this church square that they're apparently now arresting people at or what. But we will, we'll be right back and we'll talk to Lee Papa. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. On the phone is Lee Papa, the rude pundit, also the force behind Blanket the Earth. And Lee, it looks like the plan to resupply and to beef up the supplies of the occupiers is all the more important now.
It is. It is. Even if the occupation ends here today in New York, which we're still waiting on the New York Supreme Court decision on that. Right now, there's still occupations all over the country that need help.
And this is just breaking. There's been a New York Post reporter arrested at Duarte Park. A Daily News reporter arrested at Duarte Park. That's being tweeted by the Daily News. And
right.
The New York Post Twitter is putting up a video of a woman being hit by a cop as we speak. Where are you located and what have you seen?
I'm down at Zuccotti Park. I marched down here with them from 6th and Canal, which is where everybody, well, people went to Foley Square first after the occupation was broken up in the early morning hours. And then they went over for an assembly at 6th and Canal, which is where some of the action is going on right now.
6th and Canal is 6th and Canal, just to be clear, is where Duarte Park is. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And there, and I think that there's a crackdown going on there. Currently here, there's a sort of occasional eruptions here at Zuccotti Park, and the police are doing something that doesn't look good right now. They're pulling away some of their barricades, and there's a lot more cops and riot gear here. And already I've seen at least half a dozen arrests, including most recently a young man trying to plant a large American flag in the park. Currently, what the scene is that the park is surrounded by protesters, but they're not being allowed within the park, despite a court order that said that they were supposed to be allowed inside the park. And that young man was arrested, and his American flag, large American flag, was wrapped up and put in a paddy wagon.
Now tell me what you're seeing in terms of the police. Do they seem like they're doing something different at this point, or what?
They're moving barricades, and I don't know what they're doing. They're taking down barricades, and I'll just tell you right now the number of police. I'm standing here, and there's about at least a dozen police just walked by me. Those are additional police. There is some action happening because they're completely readjusting the barricades. and there's more police and riot gear. So I don't know if they're about to, they're actually taking down one set of barricades. Now, possibly this is the beginning of a good sign and they're going to be allowed in the park. I just don't know at this point.
Now, I'm seeing from the New York Civil Liberties Union that there's 100 people in the courthouse hall waiting for a courtroom assignment.
Bloomberg is judge shopping to see who will be most on his side.
Wow. And Alternet is reporting that one of the legal observers says we've been preparing for this for weeks. We have the best First Amendment lawyers in the city. From a legal observer, the question is over the permanent structures in the park. What does permanent mean regarding tents, et cetera? From your vantage point, how many protesters would you say are down now at Zuccotti, and how many stayed up at Duarte Park?
Well, I don't know how many are still at Duarte. When I got up there, there was probably 400 or 500 at Duarte. And down here now, there's probably 200. And there's certainly a number of people that are around the perimeter also watching. And I think you may even hear in the background, they're taking down one set of barricades. There were two sets of barricades. One was to contain the protesters in a ring around the Zuccotti Park. And then there was a second ring that the media was using. And people were able to move in that one. And then within the park, there's a number of police. And then around all of that, there's many, many police. Down at Duarte this morning, the perimeter of where the protesters was completely lined with police. I mean, it was a solid row, solid encirclement of police. I don't even know if that's a word.
And did the police follow the protesters up there?
Yes. Police followed the protesters the entire way from 6th and Canal, from Duarte down to Zuccotti Park. The police were with us for the entire march.
And more
came along, and paddy wagons and vans. And then we started seeing police with those plastic handcuffs start to join in.
What time were you down there last night? Did you get down there this morning or last night?
No, I came down there this morning. I came down here. I was down here by 9 a.m.
And
so I wasn't here last night.
And have you seen much police violence as of this morning?
There's been about half a dozen arrests, and those arrests have actually been pretty violent. I mean, the police are definitely showing force. Whenever anybody is grabbed, they are slammed down. If somebody tries to find out the name of the person, the police will shove them back. There's definitely an aggressiveness going on as a show of force and an intimidation factor.
And people should know that the law states that when a police officer is asked for their name and their badge number, they are required to give it. So the idea that the police would react violently to that request is way out of bounds. Matt, you got something?
Yeah, New York Times is reporting that 24 arrests at church-owned lot next to Duarte Park at Canal Street. This includes journalists from AP, Daily News, and DNA Info.
Wow. So you had at least 3 journalists who were arrested, according to the New York Times, at Duarte Park.
And a New York Post reporter was put in a chokehold by police. So I wonder what Murdoch will do about that.
I mean, this is really stunning. I think this is the end of Bloomberg's any attempt at a legacy. I mean, I really do think this day is going to go down in at least Bloomberg's personal history as perhaps the day that completely tarnished any chance of any type of legacy that he had hoped as a politician.
And it's ludicrous because first of all, there's a court order, and they are willfully disobeying a court order. That court order is in existence until another court overturns it. And right now, the police are willfully disobeying a court order. Bloomberg should be held in contempt of court. One of the reasons we came down here to Zuccotti from Duarte is because until a hearing occurs to overturn the court order, the park was supposed to have been open. There was an injunction against the police that a court that a court issued. I've seen the injunction. It's been handed out to everybody. So, and a bunch of the protesters, in fact, were holding them when they first got here and trying to give them to the police. The police refused to take the court order and therefore felt that that was a way they could ignore it.
Interesting. Lee Papa, now tell me again, what is the Facebook page for Blanket the Earth?
It's just Blanket the Earth. It's the Facebook page is facebook.com/blanketTheEarth and on Twitter at Blanket the Earth.
Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
All right, folks. As we enter into the better half of the program, we will play some clips from Bloomberg's press conference this morning. I will take your calls. If you are listening and you are down at Zuccotti Park or I should say Liberty Square, or if you've been to Duarte Park, or if you were there last night or early in the morning, don't hesitate to call at 646-257-3920. We will take your phone calls. We were planning on taking doing a pre-record for tomorrow. I don't think that's going to happen now in anticipation of our 12-hour show on Thursday, which is looking like it's going to be incredibly interesting at the very least, just as a running tally of the direct actions that are going to be taken in New York that day. So be sure to join us. You can listen to us live at Majority FM. Some of it will be available as a podcast for you freeloaders, but members will eventually get all of the 12 hours of content from tomorrow. From Thursday. We are going to be talking to Glenn Greenwald, to Janine Garofalo, to Matt Taibbi, to Sarah Silverman.
We have some of the NYC to DC marchers with Occupy Wall Street on the show on
Thursday. We will be talking to the marchers who are taking that that trek down to DC. We're going to be talking to a lot of Occupy people, of course, and talking to others about the implications of Occupy Wall Street. And I suspect we will be crafting Michael Bloomberg's political obituary over the next couple of days, and that and more. So if you have the opportunity to listen live, at any time during those 12 hours, I imagine it's going to be quite amusing. And folks, I got to remind you, become a member. It is only member support that supports this program. Without your support, we can't do this indefinitely. We do not have the wherewithal of the Occupy movement. Your lack of support is almost equivalent to the, metaphorically speaking, your lack of support, your lack of dollars that do not come our way are like tiny, tiny little riot to cops who are coming in and I shouldn't even say that because, frankly, these people who are down there who have been occupying this park deserve so much respect from us that it's almost impossible for me to articulate it. What they have been subjected to and why they are doing it, which is essentially to benefit all of us and to benefit our children and to change our society. Not only are what they've been doing creating a tremendous amount of political pressure on the establishment, not only what they're doing have changed the political narrative in this country already, but in each city, as we heard yesterday from four different cities, they're also providing valuable social services. And it is being reported today that Oakland Mayor Gene Kwan, speaking in an interview with the BBC, mentioned that she was on a conference call with leaders of 18 U.S. cities before a wave of raids broke up Occupy Wall Street encampments across the country. Understand that they, and by they I mean our bankrupt leadership in this country, are conspiring against Occupy Wall Street. So it is up to all of us to conspire with Occupy Wall Street to maintain their occupations. Michael Bloomberg will also go down as a mayor who has been incredibly responsible for an increase in the homeless in this very city. And we'll talk about this more as we go to the better half of the show and listen to some of the ridiculousness from his press conference today. But that third term, apparently that's the one that always gets you. All right, folks, if you can become a member, we really need your support. You can always support this program by buying your crap through our Amazon link. You can go click on our link, bookmark it, use it as you would anytime you buy stuff from Amazon. And do yourself a favor. Go to justcoffee.coop. You can buy fair trade coffee, tea, and chocolate from a an employee-owned company. A worker-owned company in Madison, Wisconsin. And you can get a 10% discount using the coupon code MAJORITY. You can buy your coffee ground or you can buy it in whole bean. And it's great coffee. I don't understand why there is anybody who's listening to the sound of my voice who is not buying their coffee. It is not buying their coffee is one of the most irrational things you could possibly do. Maybe second only to not being a member of the Majority Report. All right, we'll see you in the better half of the show.